Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
Reginald Atatuli here, and I'm joined by the general manager of the Dallas Wings, Greg Bibb. Greg, thanks for making some time. It's hard to talk about anything besides what is directly impacting us. Where are you calling me from, if I might ask you?
I'm calling you from home, in my office at my home, trying to do what everyone else is doing, which is stay home and stay safe and hopefully, helping in a little itty-bitty way and getting us through this as fast as possible.
I mean, coronavirus is affecting everybody, but how is it affecting an organization like a basketball team, especially in draft preparation or I guess your operation in general?
Yeah, I mean, we're like any other business. Our employees are working from home. So video conferencing, I think I had, this is 7 Zoom conferences today. And if you would ask me 3 weeks ago what Zoom was, I wouldn't have been able to tell you. So that's how quickly life has changed. But we're working from home. The safety of our employees, just like the safety of our fans and everyone that's involved with the Dallas Wings, is priority number one. And then after that, it's making as many adjustments as you can to continue to operate as normally as possible.
Let's talk about the draft. You've got the draft coming up very shortly. What's the exact date on that again?
So the draft is on Thursday, April the 17th. It's live on ESPN. It begins at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central.
And the Dallas Wings, you're positioned to factor in greatly in the draft as you have 4 first-round picks, the number 2 pick, the number 5, number 7, number 9, and then also 2 second-round picks, number 3 in the second round, which is 15th overall, and the number 9 in the second round, which is the 21st overall. But before we get into talking about the draft, I'm a very strong believer in where you've been kind of helps dictate where you're going. And obviously this team previously had been situated around a couple of superstar-type players, one being Liz Cambage, who exited a season before. But obviously this offseason, you've seen the departure of Skylar Diggins-Smith. And how does, being able to focus the team around these star players, how does that change the way that you're moving forward? Because obviously you don't have those star players that dictate the way that your team building goes.
Yeah, so the team is getting ready to enter season five in Dallas. The team officially moved to the Metroplex in November of 2015, and that's when I got involved, first as a general manager and then later as an investor in the team and president and CEO. And from day one in Dallas, really, we had a roster strategy centered around 2 superstar players, one that was currently on the roster at that time and one that we were trying to get back to the roster. And we were eventually successful in doing so in the summer of 2018. And then for various reasons over the course of the last year and a half to 2 years, those players have left the organization. And we've had to adjust our strategy. And, basketball team makeup and basketball team roster strategy is a long-term project. It's done over years, certainly not done over months or weeks or days. And we had to pivot because everything we had done to that point was about adding players and pieces that complemented our core players and building from there. So through various transactions, we've transformed the roster, really. And I made a decision some time ago that rather than acquire players who are known entities but perhaps not at the same value level as the players that would be leaving us, instead, with an eye toward the 2020 draft, acquire high-level picks because I feel and continue to feel like the 2020 draft is going to be a very good draft. And we would become a very young, perhaps painfully young team, but combining what we already have on the roster in terms of young talent with what we're going to be able to add in terms of talent this year in the draft, we will be young, but we'll be talented And if we draft correctly, we're going to be able to keep this core group of talented players together for the foreseeable future, and really have a reset on the organizational path with this draft.
Yeah, and so just to follow up there, because, I mean, it seems like you're talking about an approach that prioritizes young talent. Would you say that you're prioritizing young talent over kind of like play style and fit, or is it just kind of a get the best talent that's available and kind of make it work?
Well, we certainly have needs that we want to address. I mean, last year we played essentially without a starting point guard. Arike, on top of coming in the league as a rookie, on top of being the prolific scorer that she was, on top of being asked to do so much, actually ended up probably playing the most minutes at the point guard position by the end of the year, which is a position she had never played at a high level before. Now we have Mariah Jefferson that will be on the team this year. We acquired her in the Liz Cambage trade from Las Vegas, but she did not play last year as she was resting her knee that was surgically repaired. She's ready to go. So we'll have one point guard on the roster for sure, and we have some others that can play that position. And we acquired Marina Mabry from Notre Dame, Arike's teammate, in a recent trade with the LA Sparks. But I would say looking at our options at the point guard position in the draft is certainly on the list. You know, I think we would like to add some additional shooting talent. That's been another focus. We certainly left last year knowing that we needed to improve our ability to shoot the basketball consistently, especially from distance. And again, some of the deals we've already made, most particularly bringing in Katie Lou Samuelson from Chicago, is addressing that need. But I think that's also a priority in this draft, is in terms of being able to shoot the basketball. And then versatility, being able to draft players that can play multiple positions, that not only are good on one side of the ball, but are good on both sides of the ball, and draft basketball players. And that may sound like a silly statement, because obviously that's what we're doing. We're drafting basketball players. But really, you know, for lack of better words, gamers, people who eat, breathe, sleeve the basketball game, who are you know, dedicated to their craft and always trying to get better, because I think that kind of player, and we have some of those already on our team, is going to help us ultimately get to where we want to go.
Now, Greg, the whole time you're talking there, there's a lot of things that you talked about organizationally that you guys value, and a lot of those seem to fall, or at least be personified in a particular player that I'm thinking of, a generational talent that you have on the board here. And I'm looking at the Dallas Wings, and you have a glut of picks, 4 first-round picks, like I mentioned, 2 second-round picks. And, I mean, maybe not necessarily in WNBA, but any draft situation, I look at all those type, that glut of picks, I see a generational talent, and I think there's a possibility of moving up to go and get that type of talent. Has that been something that you've seriously considered as an organization?
Anytime you're in a draft window, there are multiple conversations happening with multiple teams. And for every deal that gets done, there's probably 20 that don't materialize. So certainly this year has been no exception. With having 4 of the top 9 picks in the draft, we certainly are a player in all of those conversations. And we've talked about a bunch of different scenarios. At this point, you know, I don't think there's anything concrete that I would like to share. But certainly with 4 top 9 picks, we'll have some opportunity to do some different things if we so choose to do so.
So there was a story about a player that has been on your roster, at least was on the roster last season, Imani McGee Stafford, and she's going to pursue a legal degree. And that obviously creates a void. While I'm sure you're very happy for her, and that's something that you're excited to see her do, that does create a void. Is that something that you're looking to maybe address, that forward or maybe even center position in the draft?
Well, first and foremost, I'm personally thrilled, and I know the organization as a whole is thrilled for Imani. We know that law school has been a long-term ambition of hers, and I think sometimes you see someone and they pursue something and you just know it's going to be good when it happens. And I think that's the case with Imani and pursuing her law degree, and we wish her nothing but the best as she enters an accelerated 2-year law program. And if she so chooses when she's done with school to think about returning to the WNBA, we'll have her rights at that time, and we'll certainly talk about it. But in terms of our roster, I think we're fortunate. We've gotten a little bit of blowback from folks talking about how many players we have under contract, almost as if it's a negative or a detriment. But here's a perfect example of why you do that this time of year. We lose a post player in Imani McGee Stafford, but you look at our roster, we still have Megan Gustafson. We still have Christina Nigwe. We still have Izzy Harrison. We acquired a Stu Endor. We have Kayla Thornton, who can play at the four. We have Katie Lou Samuelson, who can play at the four. And we have a draft straight ahead of us. So it's certainly a blow to lose Imani, but I think we're well-positioned to be okay moving forward.
Yeah, I mean, you talked about something that I actually wanted to ask you about, which was, I mean, your response to that kind of criticism, because you do have a lot of players, my count, 14 on the roster as of right now. And I guess the question I have here is, is there any particular play style that you got that the organization is looking towards at this point in time? I know you talked about valuing three-point shooting, but is there any particular play style you're looking at?
Well, I think Coach Agler, and you know, it's hard to argue with his approach because he has two championship rings in the WNBA and has been to the final multiple times, you know, values defense first. If you're going to be on his team, you're going to have to be willing to play at both ends of the court, and you're going to have to commit yourself to playing defense. And if you're not going to commit yourself to playing defense, you're going to have a great seat to watch the game. So I think if you say, what is our style? I would say first and foremost, we're a defense first roster and team. That said, I think, you know, with this kind of transformation that we're going through, you know, we're going to be young, and there's a lot of downside to that in terms of inexperience, et cetera. But one of the upside is fresh legs. And when you play a condensed schedule like we do, and you have situations where you're playing back-to-back games or multiple games in a short number of days, fresh legs are important. And our ability to get up and down the basketball court, I think, will be something we'll look to take advantage of this year. And if you look at the roster we have, and again, back to my earlier comments about versatility, that includes being able to get up and down the court and run. I think you'll see we're heading that way as an organization.
Well, Greg, I really appreciate you taking the time. I wish you the best of luck in this upcoming WNBA draft. Is there anything else that you just wanted to lay out for those listening, those fans of the WNBA ahead of this draft?
No, I think we're fortunate. We have the best fans in the league, and I think we have a fan base that is growing daily. And if you haven't had an opportunity to come out to College Park Center and catch a game, we certainly invite you to do so. But first, April 17th, 6 p.m. Central on ESPN, check out the draft. We will be busy that night, and it should be a lot of fun.
Yeah, and allow me to go ahead and mirror that. I've been out to the College Park Center and watched a few games. It's been a great pleasure. And once more, it's also been a great pleasure talking to you. Thank you for making time for me, Greg.
Thanks for having me.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.